Jesus, Persa.
No, I was Thomas.
I know. I've read that section on the crucifixion before, but I guess it didn't really hit me. I'm going to have to think about this stuff, and I'm either going to have to quit or turn it up a notch. I don't really emulate Jay.
Such determination is admirable, my brother. Remember, Jay is calling for teachers, not for martyrs. I did not seek for my death as Thomas consciously, nor did I have much time to think about it when I was killed in India.
Your old alma mater.
Cute. The point is, you shouldn't feel bad when you're not up to Jay's standards right away. It's an ideal. It takes practice, and not just a little.
Then I will practice.
I know. Well, we didn't choose you foolishly. You're stronger than you know and wiser than you think. It takes wisdom to choose the right teacher, and you're getting more and more into the habit of doing so. Don't sell yourself short, to use one of your investment terms. Just do your homework. Forgive, and it must follow as the night the day that you will experience love as being what you are. Maybe not that same minute, but it will be more and more in your awareness. Here's a pointer that will help you to remember to forgive, and believe me, remembering is the hardest part. You love Jay, don't you?
Yes.
Well, what if you treated everyone you came across on any given day as though they were him? Would that help you to remember to do forgiveness thoughts?
Yeah, I think it would. I'll try it.
What is the Course teaching except that everyone is the same and that we are all Christ? That idea will at least help you think about people the way you should, and remember that if they're not expressing love, then they must be calling out for it. Even that won't always stop you from reacting to people and situations in a judgmental way, because the ego is very clever. Except in the case of a slow burn, where you have an ongoing situation that upsets you, most of the things that bother you happen suddenly. The ego loves unpleasant surprises because that's what the separation was. When the next rude awakening comes your way, here's another tip that might help. Any kind of an upset, from a mild discomfort to outright anger, is a warning sign. It tells you that your hidden guilt is rising up from the recesses of your unconscious mind and coming to the surface. Think of that discomfort as the guilt that needs to be released by forgiving the symbol you associate with it. The ego is trying to get you to see the guilt as being outside of you by projecting the reason for it onto an illusory image. The ego thought system is trying to put some distance in between yourself and the guilt, and any suitable object or person who comes along will suffice. Projection always follows denial. People have to project this repressed guilt onto others, or correctly forgive it. Those are the only two choices that are available, no matter how complex the world may seem. If you want to outplay the ego and successfully turn the tables on it, you have to be alert for that warning sign of discomfort or anger, and then stop reacting and start forgiving. That's how you'll win.
And remember, it's just a dream.
Well, that's the backdrop, the prevalent attitude. People won't agree with you on that if they're not ready to forgive. People always resist the truth. The ego wants what it made. Forgive those who think you're a moron for not buying into the system and stick to your principles. Don't forget, the Course isn't saying that you can't be successful in the world, but it is saying you shouldn't believe it's true. Your real success is with God, because with Him, you can't ever lose. However, if you stick around Psycho Planet long enough, then eventually you have to lose. Lucky for you, the Course turns you on to the fact that it was only a dream. The universe itself and everything in it, including all the idols you covet, were projected by you from another level, just as surely as you engage in projection on this level. As Jay informs you, you choose your dreams, for they are what you wish, perceived as if it had been given you. Your idols do what you would have them do and have the power you ascribe to them. And you pursue them vainly in the dream because you want their power as your own. Yet where are dreams but in a mind asleep? And can a dream succeed in making real the picture it projects outside itself? Save time, my brother, and learn what time is for. The purpose of time is to forgive. That is the only viable answer to life. Act accordingly, child of God.
So as long as I remember to forgive, I can still go about my business. While I'm busy reversing the thinking of the world, I don't have to neglect my personal life and the things I want to accomplish. By knowing these things are idols or substitutes for God projected into a dream script, I can forgive them at the same time.
You've got it. You'll have bodily concerns as long as you appear to be here. Money won't buy you happiness, but it will buy you food, shelter, clothing, methods of communication, and a lot of other things that aren't bad. There's nothing wrong with making it big either, but why make it real, especially now that you know what's going on? It's fun to know the truth. You don't have to take everything so damn seriously. Why would you be envious of those who don't know the truth? The President of the United States thinks that he really is the President of the United States. As long as he buys into the dream, it will have the power to hurt him, or someday her.
You said you'd give me examples of applying forgiveness.
Yes, I'll give you an example from my final lifetime, although I won't say exactly when in your future it was, and Artin will give you an example during some other visit. Mostly we want to give you examples from this lifetime. Time is over. You just can't see it. The way to experience the truth is to forgive what's in front of you now. You've got to understand that if the Course is teaching there is no hierarchy of illusions, and if a miracle is a shift in perception where you switch over to the Holy Spirit script, then one miracle is no less important than another. In what you would call my last lifetime, because that's when I experienced my enlightenment, I learned it was just as important to forgive a cold as it was to forgive a physical assault, and just as important to forgive a subtle insult as it was to forgive the death of a loved one. If you think that that sounds heartless, you're wrong. It hurt when my parents died, and it hurt when my husband died. Yet what is perceived as a tragedy can be forgiven just as quickly as you're willing to recognize that the separation from God never occurred. So it's only a dream, and nobody's guilty, including you. In that lifetime, I was a woman who happened to be an American citizen. Miracles know no borders, and it doesn't matter where you're from. I only mention this because my parents had immigrated here from Southern Asia, which explains to you my name. I was a professor at a fine university, and I enjoyed being one very much. I didn't have a lot of friends because I was quiet, but I was very good at what I did. I also loved A Course in Miracles, and I was grateful that Jay had given something that was obviously designed for highly intelligent people to help them achieve enlightenment in a world where ideas of any nature, including spiritual ones, are aimed at the common masses. Now, that's not a put-down. In the 21st and 22nd centuries, the truth is that A Course in Miracles will not meet the spiritual needs of the masses, only a small minority. The Course will be much better understood 500 years from now than in the next couple of centuries. Yes, it will be acknowledged by the public that the Course is Jay speaking the word of God sooner than that, but having it meet the public's ritualistic spiritual needs is a different matter entirely. Christianity has nothing to fear from the Course. All the world's major religions will still be here 1,000 years from now. During my final lifetime, I practiced the Course for 41 years, from the age of 43 until my transition at 84. However, my enlightenment, or resurrection, came 11 years before I laid aside my body. I can't tell you how permanently blissful those last 11 years were, when time had ceased to be relevant, and how wonderful it is to have your reality remain that way forever. That was the result of practicing forgiveness as an almost constant habit for many consecutive years. It's been said that life is just one thing after another. Well, life with the Course should also be just one thing after another, except that when one of the things calls for forgiveness, you do it. Once again, you don't have to try to be loving. If you forgive, then love is revealed naturally because that is what you are.
41 years seems like an awful long time to study the Course.
You're looking at it wrong. I would have lived those 41 years anyway. Now, how would you rather spend the second half of your life? Being peaceful or not very peaceful?
That makes sense.
At the age of 50, I had been a professor for over 18 years at this prestigious university when a male student failed a class of mine. This young man, who was mentally unbalanced and feared the reaction of his family to his poor grades, came to my office and told me to change the grade, or else he would accuse me of demanding that he have sex with me in exchange for getting a good grade. He said that unless I passed him, he'd tell everyone that he had refused my sexual proposition and that I failed him for that reason. Even though I had all the evidence I needed to justify failing him in the form of his work and his tests, when I refused to change his grade, this sick but convincing man went public. Oh, he had no trouble finding a willing reporter who was looking for career advancement. And this story was repeated in other media. And then two other students who had bad grades, one of them female, also came forward to say similar things. Public perception and enrollments are very important to certain universities. And despite my innocence and my tenure, a legal loophole was found to force me out, wrecking my career. I couldn't believe it. For a while, I was devastated. It seemed as though everyone in the academic community had abandoned me. And the truth didn't even matter. Decades of study and work went right down the drain. I had done nothing wrong, but I was as good as finished. I'd never get another job in that lifetime that was as prestigious or as high-paying. Fortunately, through perseverance, I did eventually find a job that was satisfying, and I ended my career feeling as though I had made some kind of a contribution. Needless to say, what that young man and the other people did to me was one of the most important forgiveness lessons of my final lifetime. I had established a way of life, and they took it away from me.